attached. Could you also put a description of gifts and people in general?
Not approved, enjoy it.
Although in modern society, dough is accepted as part of one's household paraphernalia, in Vedic system of household life, dough is untouchable. As mentioned here, a dough may be maintained with proper food, but it cannot be allowed to enter one's house, or to speak of bedroom. Outcasts or untouchables can never should also be provided with the necessities for life. The word used in this connection is yatha, which means as much as deserved. The outcast should not be given money to indulge in more than they need. The outcast should not be given money with which to indulge in more than they need, for otherwise they will misuse it. At the present moment, for example, low class men are generally paid quite amply, but instead of using their money to cultivate knowledge and advance in life, such low class men use their extra money for wine drinking and similar sinful activities. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnam Maya Shrishtam Gunkaram Vivaksha. There must be four divisions of human society according to the work and qualities of men. Men with the lowest qualities cannot do any work that requires higher intelligence. However, although such a division of men must exist according to their quality and work, it is suggested here that everyone must have the necessities of life. The communists of the present day are in favor of supplying necessities of life to everyone, but they consider only the human beings and not the lower animals. The Bhagavatam Sanskrit are so broad, however, that it recommends that the necessities of life is supplied to everyone, man or animal, regardless of good or bad qualities. The idea of giving even one's wife to the service of public is that one's intimate relationship with his wife, or one's excessive attachment for his wife, by which one thinks his wife to be better half or to be identical with himself, must gradually be given up. As Foreman suggested, the idea of ownership, even of one's family, must be abandoned. The dream of material life is the cause of bondage in the cycle of birth and death, and therefore, one should give up this dream. Consequently, in the human form of life, one's attachment for his wife should be given up as suggested.
Okay. Any interesting points in the first?
Srila Prabhupada mentioning that necessities for everybody should be given. The communists give only for human beings, but they completely they don't think about animals. They misuse them. Therefore, all basic necessities of life must be given to each and everyone.
Any other points?
I think maybe in the Vedic culture is the work to keep it aside and kind of not locked up, but kind of locked up and not exposed to public. But I think they also say really love the wife to help to help others. For example, Yamuna Leela, she was helping Kalia. What's his name? Kalia Vanti, or what is it? That Prabhu who has character, Prabhu. So, like, we help each other, you know, we don't, like, if they come to the temple, so this is, I think, like, what they meant by allowing the wife to serve the others. So, I think everyone helps.
Any other points?
Yes, Prabhu is comparing how people are living behind the Vedic way of life compared to the almost like a doctrine, without any access to the house of life. Now you see that on the college you see three, four people for $10. That's not the way to be. Whatever is given is quite a loss. So from Vedic, from the scriptural mention, we offer back to the Lord at night. We don't calculate that we have to give to the Lord in a, on a reduced scale or in a very less amount. So offering should be given to the Lord and then accepted as prasad. Whereas modern civilization, they come. come from the people, but they don't come from even the rock. They go by the food, what they buy, try to get all the rock food is more expensive than people's food. Football, ingredients for the micro candles. So, more on the position of leaving money to the $15 to the back of the media. So, yeah.
Any other points?
Say the Lord has a divided national system according to the modes of media nature. So, we have to stick to that if people are in the mode of ignorance, they should not be treated as in the mode of goodness. They should be treated what mode they are belonging to. So if you give the treasury in the wrong hand, they're not going to use it. So, I mean, the Kshatriya are the ones who should be using the treasury. And the Brahmanas in the world of goodness, they should be the teachers. The Shudra can't be the teachers. So we have got to divide everybody according to the modes of nature they are in. And they should be given the work according to that. And then everything will be right. And the other thing in the second paragraph, not only the husband should not be attached to the wife, even the wife should not be attached to the husband either. The thing is, they both should think that they are like the part of Lord. And they should be treated, you know, they should be treated like, you know, that they are part of the Lord, and we should respect them as is due to the Lord. The husband should have respect for the wife, and the wife should have respect for the husband.
You two are the perfect example.
But we don't know that. But that's what I do.
Very prominent in the girls' culture, I could not help but say that the girls should develop the qualities of a caretaker. So he should treat his wife and children.
Preeti, do you have a point?
So, in the lecture that the wife should be attached to the husband and the husband should be attached to the guru, can you please explain that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we spoke about that last night. I'll speak about it again, but I think we mentioned it last night. So, the basic principle of Grihastha Dharma or Grihastha Ashram is Dan. Grihasthas have to give charity. And this was explained in the 10 verses we studied last night. If a Grihastha does not give charity, he does not make spiritual advancement. He does not become purified. He does not progress in spiritual life. So he must give charity. Now, Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that charity, penance, austerity, they purify, sacrifice, they purify even the great souls. So it is necessary for every Grihastha to give charity, and it's purifying. The more you give, the more purified you become, according to your capacity. Now, in the Vedic culture, everyone is maintained by the Grihasthas, by the Kshatriyas, but the Shudras, or those who are even less than Shudra, they should never be given a wage. And that is the defect of modern society. In modern society, all the Shudras, which means most of the people in this world, they all get wages, but you never give the Shudras a wage. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, why don't you pay them? Because they don't know how to use the money. And you see what they do, they just perform ugra karma, they get themselves in mess, right? They buy meat, they have illicit sex, they take intoxication, they gamble, they do all sorts of unnecessary things. So you never give them money. You never give them, you never give them money or a wage. That is the system in the Vedic civilization. So Sudras, and even especially those who are less than Sudras, which is the modern population, they should not be getting money. because they misuse it. They don't know how to understand. They don't know how to use it properly. They don't use any of it for spiritual progress. And that is the point. Prabhupada made this point last night, that if you get money, you must use the money for spiritual progress. To worship the deity, to support the Sankirtan movement. Otherwise, you don't make advancement. And you see that's what they do. They don't understand the system. So in the Vedic civilization, the Shudras are also never given a vehicle. They never have a car. And you see these days, it's expected that everyone should have a car in modern society. Everyone thinks they should have a vehicle, and everyone thinks it's their right. But actually, in the Vedic culture, the Shudras would never have vehicles. The chariots, the Ratha, that is only for the Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas generally will walk on foot. So maybe some of the rich Vaishyas may travel in some chariot or like conveyance, but Shudras, you never give it to them. Because once again, they misuse it. So what happens in the modern age? Everyone has a car, and they use the car to go to unnecessary places and do unwanted things. That is the system. So the system is ruined. So in Kali Yuga, where does Kali reside? Kali resides in gold. That's why you never give the gold to the Shudras or less, because they don't know how to use it. They simply get themselves in trouble. Now Srila Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, that we should not see the wife, and you can take it the other way as well, you can say the wife should not see the husband, as their servant. The wife is not meant to be our servant. And you can say it like the other way too, like the husband is not meant to be the wife's servant. But rather, the system is that one should be engaging the wife, the children, and the husband should be also being engaged in the service of others. That is the Vedic system. So we should not have the consciousness that I am simply enjoying my Grihastha ashram. Because then that is the nature of Grihastha life. The nature of Grihastha life, especially Grihamedi life, you think it is all for me. Aham Nameti. That is materialistic consciousness. Right? This house is mine. Right? This family members are mine. They're meant for my pleasure. The husband is meant for me, or the wife is meant for me. And it all centers around our pleasure. And when you don't like that, situation anymore, then okay, we'll have divorce. So that is the modern mentality. Whereas in the Vedic mentality, the husband is engaging the wife in the service of others, and the wife is also expecting the husband to set the example of serving others. And the children are simply in that consciousness as well. So this is liberated consciousness. This is Vaikuntha consciousness. In the spiritual world, everyone is serving Krishna, everyone is serving the devotees. So that is the actual attitude. Otherwise, we get into Grihastha life, but we become materialistic in our consciousness, and then we think, you know, the wife is meant for my pleasure, the husband is meant for that. So just to extend that point, which Preeti was mentioning, we did mention that last night, that the wife should serve the husband. This is the Vedic system. And the husband is attached to the guru. Srila Prabhupada says in this section, we'll read in this section, that the husband should not be attached to the wife. The husband should develop detachment from the wife. The husband should be attached to the spiritual master, because then he will become liberated. And the wife, she should be attached to the husband, because if the husband is strong in devotion, then she will go to the same destination. So that should be the traditional system. However, in Kali Yuga, sometimes the wife is the more advanced devotee in the relationship. So the husband sometimes gets carried or inspired by the wife. It is reciprocal. So the basic principle is that the husband and wife, they should be attached to the spiritual master. And the wife should be attached to the husband. She should follow the husband. The husband should also be attached to the wife, but it means that he should be, the attachment needs to become purified or transcendental. That's the point, as time goes by. So ultimately, Prabhupada says, this entire material world is a dream. We are simply in a dream state. Just like at night time, we have a dream, we wake up, and it's not really there. So similarly, everything we're going through in this material world is simply, it's a dream. So why are we taking it so seriously?
It's too real.
It's too real.
Because
what we're bringing. That's why we're taking two.
Yeah, we need to wake up. Very good. We haven't woken up yet. We're still dreaming. So we think that it is very real. We take it very seriously. But like Manigriva Prabhu said to me yesterday, he said, from Lord Brahma's perspective, it is insignificant. Just like, you know, if I'm at the farm and I see the ants walking around, do I take their life seriously? But they take their life seriously. Right? It's a big deal whatever they're doing. But I don't take it seriously. I think, oh, there's a couple of ants. Right? So what does Lord Brahma think when he looks at us? Right? We take it all seriously, but do you think Lord Brahma takes it seriously? Right? He just looks down and he goes, oh, that's finished. That's it, it's all gone. Our whole life is past. Right? But we're caught up in the whole thing. But Lord Brahma just looks down and he goes, okay, their life is finished. Just him looking down, that's like a whole year in our life. So we need to understand things in perspective. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. Right? It's just temporary, ultimately. So. Any points?
If we used to have four servants in our farm, we used to give them grain, 10% of our total. Then I have seen a few years they were working on grain only. Then some other opponents, he came and gave offer 200 rupees plus grain. Then we said, okay, 300 rupees plus grain. Then we have, that money he started. Now they're getting 40,000 rupees a year of rupees plus grain. Now they're drinking alcohol. They never used to be alcohol. They never used to meat eating. Then I have seen by my eyes, those couple of rupees were born by pig. Then he used to sort the pigs and chicken and all the things. Keep the now more and more degradation. And these children now equal in our village. They're more opulent than us. So Kaluga is coming. So they're demanding for more.
Yeah, the Vedic system was that you'd never give the Shudras, you'd never give them money. You would just give them leftover clothes, you would give them food, you would give them old things that you don't use anymore. And that's what they would live with, aren't they? But you never give them money.
Actually, that was
system was fine. Any other points?
To me, this world looks really not like a dream. It looks like very real to me, and I'm just trying to utilize it the best I can. It looks very real to me. If it wasn't there, then there was no chance of me going to Lord.
Society has changed so much that it's not possible to apply these concepts anymore. And it looks like they'll become actually redundant in the course of time. The only way is that it's do the Sankirtan more and more and let the people hear the word more and preach. That's all we can do.
That's all that's left. Okay. Anything else? Okay. One so seriously considers one's wife to be his own that he sometimes kills himself for her or kills others, including even his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. What is the famous example of someone who killed himself for their wife, who wasn't even a wife yet? In the West, we have a very famous example. There's one play written by William Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet. Very famous play. Shakespeare wrote very, very, very famous play in the West. Like that. So in the final scene, at the very end of the play, Then Romeo comes and he thinks that Juliet has killed herself, drinking poison. She didn't actually do it, she was just asleep. So he thought, oh no, she's dead. So he picks up the poison, he drinks it. And he dies. And then she wakes up and she sees he's dead, so she drinks the poison. And that's how the play finishes.
So you mean they're both murdered?
Both of them. Very, very famous play. So this is a very famous example. Sometimes people become so intoxicated by the relationships in this world that they'll do all sorts of crazy things. You see, practically you read the news every day, something crazy happens just because someone's attached to someone. There's the nature of mind. Everyone gets very disturbed. That's why Bhagavatam says don't become too attached in this material world. Otherwise your mind, consciousness becomes disturbed.
Same story.
It's the same example of their every culture.
Everyone has.
Actually, this is just a story in picture talk. But the thing is, there was a real thing. In Delhi, there was one doctor, and he fell in love with another lady, and he killed his own wife. And after that, there was a court case, and he was put in jail.
Lots of crazy things happen in Delhi. So. Okay, let us read the purport. Jogesh?
Every husband is too much attached to his wife. Therefore, to give up one's connection with his wife is extremely difficult. But if one can somehow or the other give up, for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord Himself, although not able to be conquered by anyone, comes very much under the control of the devotee. And if the Lord is pleased with the devotee, what is there that is unobtainable? Why should one not give up his affection for his wife and children and take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Where is the loss of anything material? Householder life means attachment to one's wife, whereas sannyasa means detachment from one's wife and attachment to Krishna.
What do you think? Assaulted, just let us know and we'll speak to your husband.
No. But the thing is, there are so many here because they come for help. So that's why I know. There are so many ladies are assaulted. And assaulted sometimes very badly. So where is the attachment?
So your husband is a good boy.
I'm not talking about your
husband. Ah, acha. Okay, so the basic principle of Brihastha life is that we should become attached to Krishna. And Prabhupada said that is how Brihastha life becomes successful. the husband and wife should keep Krishna in the center. Prabhupada mentions this in the Krishna book. So that is the secret of success. If Krishna is the center, then the ashram will be very peaceful. If Krishna is not in the center, the ashram becomes chaotic, or it becomes a source of misery. So, as Prabhupada says within the purport, what is not what is unattainable if one becomes attached to Krishna? In other words, you will get everything. So the ultimate test for all of us is that we must become attached to Krishna more than anyone else or anything else. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on this verse. He says it is very difficult to give up attachment to wife, or wife giving up attachment to husband. He says it's very difficult, not a small thing, to give up attachment. To purify the attachment and become more attached to Krishna. He said that is difficult, but that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna has to become the most important person. So the devotee should be attached to Guru, should be attached to Krishna, and the husband and wife should be seen as devotees. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I see my wife, I see my children as devotees, and I am the caretaker in the house. So that is perfect Grihastha Dharma. Perfect Grihastha Dharma, we just see everyone in the house is Krishna's servant, and everything I'm doing is just to serve Krishna's servants. And we should treat each other very respectfully. In the morning we should offer obeisances to each other. Right? And we should speak to other very, we should speak to each other very sweetly. And if you remember in chapter 11, that the wife, when we speak about street dharma, as soon as the husband gets home, she should put sandalwood pulp on his head and put garlands around his neck and bathe his feet. Do you remember that chapter? No? Have you all started implementing these things? No? Okay. So that means you may not pass your exam. That's not going to happen, but but the basic point is we should offer respect. You should offer respect to everyone in the house because everyone is Krishna's servant. That is the point. Okay. Any points?
Well, the houses are not designed to wash husband's feet when they come. In a village environment, you have a provision in the house that you have a slot there, the person walks in, places his feet in that area, and the wife or others pour water, and then he washes his feet and then enters the house. Here, the houses are not. Otherwise, the wife would have come.
That's not a good excuse. But if I send my brother to your house, he can build this situation for you. Any other points? Okay. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool, or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the Supreme Being who is all-pervading like the sky? So, Jamuna Lila, can you read that?
Here also, the same point is stressed. Man should have an attachment for his wife, or in other words, for sex life. If one is intelligent, he can think of his wife's body as nothing but a lump of matter that will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool, or ashes. In different societies, there are different ways of dealing with the human body and individual ceremony. In some societies, the body is given to the vultures to be eaten, and therefore the body ultimately turns to vulture stool. Sometimes the body is merely abandoned, and in that case, the body is consumed by small insects. In some societies, the body is immediately burned after death, and thus it becomes ashes. In any case, if one intelligently considers the constitution of the body and the soul beyond it, what is the value of the body? Antavanta ime deha nitya shlokta sharirina. The body may perish at any moment, but the soul is eternal. If one gives up attachment for the body and increases his attachment for the spirit soul, his life is successful. It is merely a matter of deliberation.
Any interesting points in this shloka?
Let's say one should go and see in the anatomy hall. It was the dead body, all macerated, and then put one over the other. And that's the end of our body. The moment I saw that, I regret the surface for that. See? So that's the reality.
Any other points?
Since attachment is not only to the body, the friendship or what subtle things the person has to offer, I think here is only talking about the body. But I think the attachment is to other things as well, not only to the body. I mean, if you're attached to the body, then it means you're really younger as well.
Understand the other tradition to see the light as Krishna's servant. His attachment in any way is a body of that.
Any other points?
Not only because of the sexual relationship, in this world we find the best friend for a person happens to be invariably their partner. If you do find somebody who is your extremely good friend, then you are very fortunate, and then the relationship matures, and then you have the attachment easily coming up. So that's where Lord Krishna comes in the picture. But if we can somehow develop that strong relationship with the Lord, then automatically the attachment comes from the wife. But otherwise, we think that she or he is our best friend, and therefore we share everything in life. And that's where we have the failure in Brahmachari Ashram. Many Brahmacharis, they turn to Grastha because they do not find a person in whom they can trust and build a relationship all through the life.
Anything
else?
So, as it says here, we should contemplate the reality of the material body. That it will be eaten by worms, it will be turned into stool, it will be turned into ashes. So that is reality. There's a famous verse by Lord Shiva, where Lord Shiva says that you should contemplate, he's speaking for a man, he says you should contemplate the form of the woman, and you should understand the breasts of the women, which are the most attractive part of the woman, is just simply a bag of blood. And Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is the creator of this material world, he said you should contemplate this again and again. So you understand things in reality.
That's what he just said.
What's that?
That's what he just said.
Okay, you just wrecked my whole class. So. Fat or blood or stool or pus or whatever it is. But you should see the material body for what it is. It is just foul substances. It is liquid beauty. You know that famous drama, liquid beauty. But we should see it like this. But even though we hear this tonight, we'll hear it in the class, but tomorrow we'll get out and we'll become bewildered again. That is the nature of the material world. It's very powerful, the energy of the material world. Maya is extremely powerful. So we have to contemplate this again and again and again and understand the reality of the situation. Because everything ultimately ends in ashes and stool, and this material body has no value. So we have to realize that point. We're probably a long way from realizing that point, but we need to realize that point, because that is the reality of the situation. But when the material body, which is just a bag of obnoxious substances, when it's formed in a particular way, right, and it looks in a particular way, then we think we become very enamored by that, or very attracted by that body, especially men towards women. They become very bewildered by a beautiful woman. But they don't understand the actual constitution of the body. If you just peel off the skin, then you lose attraction to the body immediately. As long as there's a skin is only like 1 millimeter thick. It's just the skin. That's why Prabhupada says skin disease. We're just attached to the skin. You take off the layer of skin, the most beautiful woman in the world, you won't be attracted to her. If you just put 1 millimeter of skin over the body, then everyone becomes completely bewildered. That's the power of Maya. So we have to contemplate these things. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. So we see things in reality. So, any points?
As we can see, the material body is made up of fire and it's a Panjabuddha. It says that it's a combination of that matter. Panjabuddha is the same as Panjabuddha. So that's so that we don't hate others also. So when we keep thinking that they are not the body and the soul, then sometimes when we think that the body is made up of dirty things, then we feel bad. So better to think that your body is a combination of the fire and air, which are water and earth. So Panjabuddha, the body, and they are obviously spirit soul. So think that they are spirit soul. And we will also respect them, respect the soul.
Okay. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yogya, pancha, suna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. That's Ananda Vallabha Prabhu.
Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8.4 million forms of life. Eko bahuna yo vidagati kama. Every living entity has to eat something. And in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death.
So what are the points?
You just said about the Ajagra Vrithi of the
any other points?
Then why are there so many people are starving in some part of the world?
Because they're not distributing prasadam. So what is being emphasized in the purport? Prabhupada is emphasizing the potency of prasad. That everyone in human society should take only Krishna prasad. Because when you take prasad, the consciousness becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada states, and also it's mentioned in the Mahabharata, different places, that if one takes grains which are cooked by a non-devotee, one's mind becomes wicked. And the famous example in the Mahabharata is Bhishma himself, who is one of the 12 Mahajanas. But because he was eating grains which are cooked by Kauravas, in their palace, not cooked by Duryodhana, but served by Duryodhana, served by Dhritarashtra, who were wicked. Prabhupada points out, even though he was a great soul of Mahatma, his consciousness became contaminated. So even if we're very advanced in Krishna consciousness, if we take grains which are cooked by the non-devotees, our consciousness becomes contaminated. So you must eat prasad.
He was eating continuously.
Yeah, every day. He was eating
that,
something.
That's why you have food.
Yeah.
But the Lord asked me to eat now and then.
And then it is explained that when the blood drained out of Bhishma's body, when he was shot by Arjuna on the battlefield, that at that time when he was laying on the bed of arrows, it is said that his consciousness became pure, because the blood had drained from his body, and all the contamination, which was there in his body from eating those grains, then that drained, and then his consciousness was pure, and then he could speak those final instructions to Yudhishthira. So the point is that we should take Krishna's prasad. Devotees have to be strict on this point. Don't eat food cooked by the non-devotees. Okay. Any points?
How can you expect the mind to make such a mistake? Krishna?
Well, it shows the... It's just based on that point.
Because he won't look.
I think he promised his father that he will protect the ruler
always. Yeah, but the point is, he was eating the food cooked in their palace. He could have made other arrangements. Vidura was also living next door. He could have just gone over there for prasad, or, you know, there are options. Or he can arrange his own cooks. He's the grandfather of the entire dynasty. He can arrange the right cooks. But, you know, for whatever reason, he was taking food, which was cooked by non-devotees, and that's what happened. So you might be an advanced devotee, but if you're always taking food cooked by non-devotees, then your consciousness can become affected. So you have to be strict about these points.
You are saying that he allowed himself to be used as an example by Krishna to show to the whole world that even though he is a Mahajan, and if he goes on the opposite side of Krishna, still he will be annihilated. Krishna will not spare anyone who goes against Dharma. So he was allowing himself to be used as an example. Because he is a Mahajan, he allowed that himself. That's what Adanath Maharaj was explaining about Krishna's point like stand in this whole world.
In Mahabharata, it's written there that when he was in trouble, he called his mother, which is Ganga. And Ganga said to him that whenever there is a Samudra mountain, there is always poison comes out first, and you are supposed to drink the poison. And then only the amulet will come. So he was present.
So
that he was meant to do that.
That one? We'll explain it after the class, because it's a bit of an elaborate point. So. Any other points? Every day one should worship the Supreme Being who is situated in everyone's heart, and on this basis one should separately worship the demigods, the saintly persons, ordinary human beings and living entities, one's forefathers and oneself. In this way one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. When one is enriched with wealth and knowledge which are under his full control, and by means of which he can perform jagya, or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Leela Mai, would you like to add?
If a guest of a householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform vijna as directed by the auspicious scriptures. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Ijnasa Karmano Netra Lokoyam Karmabandhana. Everyone may be engaged in this occupational duty, but the result of these duties should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge, as well as the money with which he performs sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastra. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kritaya Priyato Vishnum, Prayatam Vidato Mahe, Vapare Sarichariyayam, Kalauta Sari Kirtana. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Treta Yuga by the performance of costly yajnas. The same goal should be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple, and in this age of Kali one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtana Yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtana movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya, and the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating themselves for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining the Sankirtana movement. Yajne Sankirtana Piya Yajanti Hi Sumadesha.
Any points here?
About the aims of satisfying Lord Krishna, that needs to be goal. Prema Pumato Man, and you were saying this morning to us, ten goals. First, there will be a relationship with him, then by devotional service, we have to reach that goal.
Any other points?
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so easy by saying that you can't do any yajna or anything in Kali Yuga because people haven't got the right even pronunciation of the Sanskrit word. And if they spell it, I mean, pronounce it wrong, then it will be a positive effect, really. So you should just do Sankirtan movement and think that.
Any other points?
The soul's innate quality is to serve. So either you serve the Lord or you serve the Maya. You can't keep quiet.
So Prabhupada's basic point is that all the money that we acquire and all the knowledge that we acquire, it should be used in the service of ISKCON. That's the basic point. I mean, the Prabhupada expected us to become learned. That's why we're doing this course. We have to become learned. We have to learn the Bhagavata. Why? So then we can convince others. When one becomes knowledgeable, one becomes a pundit, then others will take notice, they will listen, and they will also become purified. So we should become learned, and if we are wealthy, if we have excess money, we should use that in the service of ISKCON, spreading the Sankirtan movement. So that's basically the point of Grihastha life. Grihastha life means you should accumulate knowledge, you should study, but when you study, you come here, you study the Bhagavatam, but now you're expected to preach as well. Now you have to give this knowledge to others, or work together, and assist each other in giving this knowledge to others. And we see that in this group, so many bhakti vriksha groups and different preaching activities are taking place, urban yoga and different things are taking place. So this is the point. Right? You're getting knowledge, but then you have to give knowledge to others as well. That is your responsibility. And same with wealth. If you get wealth, you have to give that to others. You know, you have to spread Krishna consciousness. You can't just take wealth or knowledge and keep it to yourself, because then you don't get purified. Any wealth you receive, then you have to use that in Krishna service, and any knowledge you receive, you also have to use that in Krishna service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the enjoyer of sacrificial offerings. Yet, although his lordship eats the oblations offered in the fire, my dear king, he is still more satisfied when nice food made of grains and ghee is offered to him through the mouths of qualified brahmanas.
What would activity should be performed for sacrifice? It should be directed towards pleasing Krishna. As stated elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Gokarana Gnatasham, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he is the supreme lord and enjoyer of everything. However, although sacrifice may be offered to please Krishna, he is more pleased when grains and ghee instead of being offered in the fire are prepared as prasad and distributed. First to the brahmanas and then to others. This system pleases Krishna more than anything else. Furthermore, at the present time, there is very little chance to offer sacrifices by pouring oblations of food grains and ghee into the fire. Especially in India, there is practically no ghee. For everything that should be done with ghee, people use a certain type of oil preparation. Oil, however, is never recommended for offering in sacrificial fire. In Kali Yuga, the available quantity of food grains and ghee is gradually diminishing, and people are embarrassed that they cannot produce sufficient ghee and food grains. Under these circumstances, the Shastra enjoins Yajnai Sankirtan prayer, Vijanti Hi Sumedrasya. In this age, those who are intellectual offer yajna or perform sacrifice to the Sankirtan movement. Everyone should join the Sankirtan movement, offering to the fire of this movement the oblation of the knowledge and riches. In our Sankirtan movement, or Hare Krishna movement, we offer sumptuous prasad to the deity and later distribute the same prasad to the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and then to the people in general. Krishna's prasad is offered to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and the prasad of the brahmanas and Vaishnavas is offered to the general populace. This kind of sacrifice, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and distribution of prasad, is the most perfect and bona fide way of offering sacrifice for the pleasure of yajna or Vishnu.
What an interesting point.
Chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and distribution of prasad. Too important.
We need more devotees. We're just waiting for Urban Yogi to produce more devotees.
I was reading the book by Sudhakati Babu. What is the reason that you read? Prabhupada is saying that prasadam is not complete without the use of ghee and sugar. Prasadam means ghee and sugar.
For the deities. Prasadam for the deities means ghee and sugar. If there's no ghee, no sugar, then it's not opulent. Not that. For human beings, then that's a different story.
I was just thinking tonight for one preparation, should they use oil or ghee? Now I think it's clear.
Yeah, for the deities you should use ghee. He just did a cooking retreat on the weekend at the farm. I nearly left my body. I had to fast for 2 days just to recover. He cooks everything in ghee. Not everything, but most things.
He cooks in ghee. But he has lost quite a bit of it.
Who's that?
He has lost quite a bit of it.
Okay, so Prabhupada's basic point is that Krishna is pleased when we are serving his devotees. So he gets more pleasure when the devotees are taking prasad, even than when you offer it directly to him. So you cook a nice offering, you offer it to Radha Ballabha. Radha Ballabha are more pleased when that prasadam is distributed to the devotees and then to the guests. Like that. So that is actually the greatest pleasure. Like that. So we must always respect the devotees. Make sure the devotees are served very nicely. But it must be Krishna's prasadam, that's the point. Mm-hmm. We must be very careful on this point, that we serve the devotees very nicely. This is Krishna's pleasure, actually. The deities have to be served opulently. The deities have to be served nicely. And you see in this temple, the deities are served very nicely. In all of ISKCON, this is one of the highest standards of deity worship in the whole movement. Although I have seen since I've joined, the standard is not as good as it was. I've seen the offerings are not as good as they were, say, 20 years ago. The offerings were better, actually. So I don't think it's even though we have one of the highest standards, it's not as good as it was previously. So the deities should be served very nicely. But then the deities, they take greater pleasure in seeing their devotees be served very nicely. So Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. The one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So that is how you please Krishna. If you want to be recognized by Krishna, then serve Krishna's devotees very nicely. And then you will get Krishna's full blessings. That's what Prabhupada is saying here in this report. Any points?
Too many times in life, Prabhupada would walk along the street, is taking the prasadam, and he would be very pleased to see that the devotees are taking this hot prasadam in sumptuous quantity. And he made a point, and he made a lot of points that you should eat as much as you can like this, as far as prasadam is concerned.
And he would call the Matijis over and make sure that the women and the children were getting hot milk in the evenings. So it's very important that the women and the children get hot milk. The Prabhupada would always be conscious of all these things. Okay. Thereafter, my dear king, first offer prasadam to the brahmanas and the demigods, and after sumptuously feeding them, you may distribute prasad to other living entities according to your ability. In this way, you will be able to worship all living entities, or in other words, the supreme entity within every living entity. So, Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport that when you are feeding the devotee or feeding the guru, you must be sure that you're offering the guru prasad. I remember when my spiritual master would come here sometimes, and he would say to us when we were offering him lunch, he said, "Has this been offered?" Because sometimes neophyte devotees, they think, well, I'm offering this to my guru, so then it is prasad automatically. But you must understand the guru wants to eat Krishna's prasad. So you have to be very careful that you're offering the offering to Krishna, and then Krishna, the guru is receiving the remnants from Krishna. It must be Mahaprasad. Whatever you offer to the guru must be first offered to Krishna. That's the system. Because sometimes it does happen. Right? They just cook and then they offer it straight to the spiritual master. But my spiritual master, he would often mention this point. He said, "Has this been offered to Krishna? Make sure." And specifically, he would ask us to offer it to Radha Ballabha, not just to a picture. He said, "Make sure this is offered to Radha Ballabha. Then I'll take it." Okay. He preferred that to it just being offered to a picture. Even though we're offering to a picture, offering to Krishna, he said, "No, the deity should eat it first." And that gives the guru the greatest pleasure. And then Krishna gets the greatest pleasure when he sees the gurus being served his remnants.
Okay. and the Yamuna centric quality.
Four.
Because if he wants that to be offered to Radha Radha, then only Yamuna centric for the Guru Gopi.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think my spiritual master. I think to cook for him, you had to be a Brahmana. I don't think he would let non-Brahmanas cook for him. I mean, it depends how many disciples the guru has. You know, my spiritual master had quite a few disciples, but some of the gurus may not have as many disciples. So they may get first initiated devotees or like that too. But generally. A Brahmana who is sufficiently rich must offer oblations to the forefathers during the dark moon fortnight in the latter part of the month of Bhadra. Similarly, he should offer oblations to the relatives of the forefathers during the Mahalaya ceremonies in the month of Ashwina. Okay. So we'll just read these final four verses. So listen very carefully, because this will be on your exam. Okay. One should perform the Shraddha ceremony on the Makara Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move north, or on the Karkata Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move south. One should also perform this ceremony on the Mesha Sankranti day and the Tula Sankranti day, in the yoga name Vyatipata. On that day in which three lunar titis are conjoined, during an eclipse of either the moon or the sun, on the 12th lunar day and in the Shravana Nakshatra. One should perform this ceremony on the Akshaya Tritiya day, on the 9th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik, on the 4 Ashtikas in the winter season and the cool season, on the 7th lunar day and the bright fortnight of the month of Magh, during the conjunction of Magha Nakshatra and the full moon day, and on the days when the moon is completely full, or not quite completely full. When these days are conjoined with the nakshatras, from which the names of certain months are derived, one should also perform the Shraddha ceremony on the 12th lunar day when it is in conjunction with any of the nakshatras named Anuradha, Shravana, Uttara, Falguni, Uttara, Shatha, or Uttara, Bhadrapada. Again, one should perform this ceremony when the 11th lunar day is in conjunction with either Uttara Falguni, Uttara Shatha, or Uttara Bhadrapada. Finally, one should perform this ceremony on days conjoined with one's own birth star, Jamma Nakshatra, or with Shravana Nakshatra. So this is one of your key memory verses. So make sure you remember. This will be on your exam. Okay. Show a profile of the key.